Sports Day for Kia's open season, continuing with match-winning deals. And Red Energy, a 100% Australian gas and electricity retailer.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. Well, it's Thursday night and day 11 only of the lockdown. Richo's in the house and Greg Swan, CEO of the Brisbane Lions, will go through his diary for the week, including what he's going to do with distressed membership money. But first, as always, Scoot McClure joins us with the news of the day from the world of AFL footy. And despite there being no games, there is, Scoop, always news. Welcome to you.
Jared, good evening to you and hello everyone. Hope the Thursday is treating you okay. Yeah, Gillon McLachlan, the AFL CEO, confirming today, Jared, that if AFL club members want a refund for their membership, then they would be entitled to it. I've got to say though, Jared, it's been something that I think a lot of people have known. I mean, no club within their right mind would turn around and deny the opportunity of a refund to someone seeking it. I think the greater point that has been talked about, and we even saw it with Eddie Maguire and his tete-a-tete with his teammate Tony Jones last night, say that, you know, the strong hope and desire is that members stand by their clubs at times like this. And I think we've known that since, you know, this crisis hit us.
The irony of that discussion between the two channels, Channel 9 teammates, was that as soon as Eddie said, don't try and make a headline out of this, TJ, it was always going to be a serious headline. I don't think there'll be a rush of members demanding their money back.
I hope not.
Clearly, there'll be some people who just want to stop the outgoings because there's no incomings, and that's going to happen, and they're absolutely entitled to do that. If you want to give us a call, 13 13 32 is the Harcourt's open line. We're here for Kia, though, and it's open season at Kia with match-winning deals and Australia's best seven-year warranty. Before we welcome the great man who nearly won a Brownlow from the wing.
He did, and he probably should have, in fairness. The umpires didn't look after him that year. Richo's going to do something with us that we're looking forward to, Jared, and that is go back through a draft and redo the top 10. Now, I've spent the last 90 minutes doing my own.
Yep.
And nothing surer that Richo and I will be poles apart in each of our top 10s. It's actually a really interesting draft that we're looking at today.
Indeed it is.
The 2000 national draft.
I think the number one pick won't change, but after that, it's open slather.
I would agree.
Well, let's welcome him. I want to be a Richo man. I can remember that. I've told you many times, Richo. Coming back, I was coming off the station at Brighton Beach, walking up the road, and I got home a bit earlier, and then there was this group of kids who had been at the G. They were walking up South Road singing exactly that. Richo, Richo. It really put a spring in my step, I've got to say. You must be thrilled that Rex actually immortalised you with that great song.
Oh, I am, yeah. It was fantastic of Rexy to come up with that amongst the thousands of other things that he came up with inside the AFL industry. So he's a great man, Rexy. And, Jared, just listening to your point about the club members before, I'm with you. I think 90% of members will stay members and won't ask for a refund. But I just think some of the higher-level coterie-type memberships, I've spoken to a few people that are, you know, some of those higher level members. And I think some of them are like looking at it and going, gee, there's thousands of dollars tied up there we probably need at the moment. But I think you'll find 90% of members will leave their money with the club.
Richo, plenty of people already on the line. We'll honour that and go straight to their calls on the Harcourt's open line. If you want to talk real estate, talk to them. If you want to talk memberships, now's your opportunity to talk to Richo on 13 13 32. Peter's first, welcome.
Hi, guys. I'm happy to pay my membership. I was just wondering where if we could get our scarves and caps, that's all.
Well, who do you barry for, Pete?
Go the Tigers.
Tigers, well, Brendan Gale's, he actually leaves his office, goes out to his car each and every night at 6 o'clock just so he can tune in and monitor the mood of the meeting, Peter. I'm sure they will be absolutely on top. In fact, we will try and find out what they are going to do. In fact, Greg Swan's going to join us. We will put that directly to him because what one club is doing, Peter, given they're having this collegiate approach, I'm sure each and every club is going to do.
And Brendan Gale is actually, with his vast knowledge in this space, is heading up, Richo, the membership part of the CEOs, along with Kane Little, who spend a lot of time building the Richmond membership base.
And if Brendan Gale isn't able to listen, he always sends Giuseppe Mamone, the world's greatest property steward, to monitor it. So we'll get back, Peter, to the Tigers. To Portland, Keith, you're next.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Just about the, I agree with Richo about the members. I'd say that most of them won't care about the club keeping their money. That's, you know, that's what they do. I can't afford one at the moment, but that's fine. But, you know, the other thing about Eddie and Tony, you know, they don't need to argue about it. The members will make up their own mind, and I'm sure most of them will do the right thing.
And it was clarified by Gil McLaughlin today. Thank you, Keith. Brenda's on the same topic. Brenda?
Oh, hi, guys. I'm just curious. Look, I'm a good Essendon supporter, and I kept my membership going when we weren't allowed to play. But just curious, can you explain for us? I've got a membership, but I've got a reserve seat.
Yep.
Who gets the money from the reserve seat? Is it the club or is it the AFL?
We will double. We'll put a call into Xavier Campbell now.
He'll be listening. He listens to this program more than anyone.
Well, we'll get Xavier Campbell if we can to text into you, Scoop. He's got your number. You harassing each and every day trying to get a story. So hopefully we'll get that answer for you as soon as possible, Brenda. Thanks for your inquiry. I'm sure there's many people in your position. What about you, Anne?
I've got a membership, but I won't be asking for a refund. I just love my club.
Who do you barrack for, Anne?
Richmond. There've been a lot of lows and highs, but the last 3 years, I mean, what could you expect? But it's just a great club.
Yeah, Richo, have a chat to Anne, please.
Yeah, Anne, I think you're absolutely spot on. That's the sentiment I get just, you know, talking on the phone to friends that barrack for Richmond, or not even Richmond, anyone who's got a membership within the AFL industry. I think most people understand that it's really important now that you probably leave your membership fee with the club. And if you really can, some people are desperate and they might need it back. But I reckon 90% of members are going to have the same sentiment that Anne's got there.
And hopefully we've got some games coming up. I know that some people are suggesting June 21 as a potential starting date. Let's hope we've got plenty of games to pad out that membership. Thanks, Anne. Michelle's next.
Hi. I'm not a member of any club, but I would be prepared to tip in what I can afford. It might only be $20, $50 to be split across the AFL. I think it's just that important to our culture and our mindset and to save it.
Very generous offer of you, Michelle. I think the easiest way to do that is just to support your own personal club.
Yep.
And they'd be absolutely thrilled to hear from you. Matt's next on the line. Welcome to you, Matt.
Yeah, guys, I actually made a conscious decision today to actually pay my Hawthorn membership. But one thing over the last couple of years that used to really annoy me, and it's actually going to go full circle to this whole crisis that we've got.
Yep.
Every year, the club wanted to send me another bloody cap or another bloody scarf made in China, you know, and I used to get so frustrated. I'm thinking 35,000 caps of scarves made every year. It's bad for the environment. I'm actually still wearing the scarf I've had for 30 bloody years. And the world needs to actually just look at itself about all of this stuff that we just keep getting made offshore, bad for the environment. You know, it wasn't necessary. And I actually used to ring the club and say, I don't want a cap or a scarf. I just want to pay my membership. And if you can actually save money and put it back into the club instead of sending me something made in another country, I'll be quite happy. And I hope after all of this changes.
Richo?
It's a very interesting point because I've had this conversation as well. We're doing a lot of this, aren't we, talking to friends on the phone. A lot of them are saying, you know, this is a reality check and a reset for us that all the consumption that we do have in our lives, it's probably not necessary. And it probably just adds to that point there about getting a new hat or scarf every single year. I know some people do like it. They collect them and they can show that they've been a member over 20 years or whatever, but there's also a lot of people thinking the same way as that caller there, where do we really need the consumption that we have at the moment? So a lot of people are thinking that way as well.
You're on the money, Matt. Spot on. Maybe it's as simple as just having a box to tick. You either want a cap or you want a scarf, and if you don't tick the box, you don't get one, Scoop.
We've got a response from Essendon, not from Xavier Campbell, but by the man who gives him all his information,
okay.
Jared. His number one advisor, Justin Rodsky, who's an avid listener of this program. Clubs receive the revenue for the membership reserve seats, but there is a cost per seat that the clubs then pay the stadiums.
Mm.
So it would be shared between the clubs and the stadia. And, of course, if it's at Marvel, it's technically going to the AFL.
Rising star is Justin Rodsky. He was actually the man in the probably seat 1A if Xavier Campbell had have gone to the AFL. Rodski was suggested by many in high places that he was going to move into Xavier Campbell's office.
And has been linked to other clubs as well.
Indeed. In fact, I believe he was actually measuring up for a new chair in his office at one stage, but didn't come to...
Well, it should have happened. Xavier Campbell should be at the AFL.
Well, he would have taken a 50% pay cut if he had gone there.
True.
Ian, thanks for your call.
Yeah, how are you, boys?
All right.
Mate, just one for Scoop here. Like, I'm a mad punter. I've had bets on the AFL 8 and 4 and flag and all that. And these betting shops are not refunding the bet, so they're putting you down to their rules that you've got to bend to if there's so many games that the final system changes. You know, why isn't betting just called off and restart when the games start?
It's a really interesting point. It's a really interesting point, Ian. I would say to you, without absolutely knowing the answer, that if we don't play any more games this year, that the majority of the betting agencies will refund those bets, but they're probably holding on to your money while there is still a fair chance that we will get back and we'll still have a top four, Jared. We'll still have a top eight. We'll still have a Brownlow medal.
Yep.
Still have a finals race. So hold on to your bets.
Thanks, Ian. Stay tuned for an update on that as the season progresses, or at least the year progresses. Jimmy's next.
Hello. 2 points. I'm an AFL member, a gold member,
yep,
and I've got a long memory. When I'm on the internet trying to get my tickets for finals and that, and then it's all too hard and the system collapses and all that, so I want a refund now because I'm not getting the product that I want, so put that to the side. But one part that I think that media, you guys haven't really put into it enough of it. I heard that Gillon McLachlan has done a great job and got this great deal with the banks and is bringing money back. I want to know how 600 people that get employed by the AFL and all these great clubs with these great chief executives and all these dominant, smart people, very dynamic people working in all these clubs, couldn't work out that if something went wrong in 1 year, that they're all threatened to be wiped out completely and the league has to go and borrow more than half of their equity to sustain the league, to keep moving along. How did we actually not know this? I think there's tremendous... Someone really needs to look into how did we get to this point and how all these chief executives from all these clubs and the AFL, McLachlan, under his clock, and Dimitri, how did we get to this? None of one thought of this. And even the banks that are actually funding the league that they're talking about now, didn't they know that what happens if this happens and the league stops playing for a year and you're going to collapse?
I think you made your point, Jimmy. Richo, what are you thinking?
Well, I understand what he is saying, but this is something that you could do all the planning you like, but who would have ever thought that the whole world, basically all industry, was basically going to have to stop for maybe a six-month period? I don't think anyone would ever have foreseen that and planned for that. And I mean, it's not just the football industry going to the wall, it's everything. I mean, does that mean every industry hadn't planned for something like this? Of course they hadn't. I don't think anyone could have planned for something like this.
No, and Richo, just to back you up there, I mean, in every industry across the world, companies are spending billions of dollars on risk management. And in all the risk matrices that they'd come up with, the global pandemic that slowly but surely shut down the world was not on it. So I'm not sure how anyone could have planned for it.
Well, one bloke did, Bill Gates. He wrote about it in a book about 5 years ago.
That is so true. You know, I've just started reading excerpts of that, and he's also on a documentary on Netflix, Jared, called Explained, which was made, I think, 12 months ago, talking about what would happen if the next pandemic hit. And Bill Gates was the guest speaker.
Yeah, I think you'll find a lot of people in Asia, having gone through SARS, have been preparing for this. And Jimmy, just to put a final, full stop on your discussion or your question, some would argue, and some would argue absolutely correctly, that the AFL, in their wisdom 10, 15, 20 years ago, did understand that they needed to put some money away for a rainy day, and that was the investment they made in Docklands. And that investment is the very reason why we're not cap in hand to the government at this stage, and that billion-dollar investment is the very reason that the AFL were able to get a $600 million loan. So I think you're being a bit harsh. I think you've raised some reasonably good questions. I think you could apply it more to how come we're sacking blokes on $600,000 when they could still be doing the job as coach, etc. And I think they are the sort of behaviours that are going to change right across all the football codes. We're going to take a break. Plenty of people on the line. But Richo is in the house, and that was all for Toro Motors. Have a super summer with up to $600 instant cash back on selected Toro mowers, which make mowing too easy. This is Sports Day, powered by 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. It's Red Energy. Switch today.
Matthew Richardson for Macca's new 100% Aussie grass-fed beef burger. Naturally delicious.
Yes, and Richo is in the house. And Richo, this is not an easy task that you have been presented, because just on a very brief reckoning, I reckon there's six players in the top 10 of the 2000 National Draft that made a significant contribution to the game. And there's six players numbered 50, 52, 53, 55, 56 and 58 in the 50s, six in the 50 that have made a very similar contribution, maybe without quite the star power, but if you added them up collectively, you could make the argument that they have topped the number, the top 10 players.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first four or five pretty much name themselves when you look at their careers and what they've achieved in the game. But you're right, after that, you can throw a blanket over a number of players. So not an easy job, and I might have even found a spot for a rookie-listed player.
Oh,
in the
I
top
know.
10.
Oh, gee. I can't believe that, Richo. Okay. I can't wait to compare these top 10s.
Hold your fire, Richo, because as I said last week, we are going to follow the diary of the chief executive from the North in Greg Swan, the chief executive of the Brisbane Lions, who's been good enough to join us again this Thursday evening. Welcome to you, Greg.
Hello, Jared. Hello, boys. How are you?
It's a tough world for everybody at the present time, and it's been really incredibly tough for you, having dismissed so many of your friends. Roughly, what sort of week did you have this week from Monday to Thursday?
Yeah, well, when you look at your diary, you have Monday, you have a phone hookup with the AFL.
Yep.
Tuesday, you do it again. Wednesday, you have another one.
Right.
And just got off another one now. So
you're spending plenty
That's in it. It's simple. It's form.
What's your form of communication? There's all these communication tools that I've never heard of before that are all of a sudden booming, evidently, on the stock market. Are you a Zoom man, or you're a Cloud man, or a Microsoft man?
We're Teams. I'm a Teams man, although there was a Zoom hookup today, so I'm getting
sharing
much more
around
technical than I was, that's for sure. But no, that's the MO. We all phone in, and we discuss a whole range of things. So every the big thing this week was the JobKeeper announcement. So which is a good thing for everyone out there, really, where you've got an ability to hopefully retain your staff, pay some money. Just working through the mechanics of that, because I don't think the legislation's gone through yet, which is, there's always a little bit of devil in the detail, but we've sort of started to work through that. We've had some discussions about what a footy department looks like next year, and when we come back, about how what sort of modifications we need to make if the soft cap goes down. So there's a lot of stuff happening, still helping staff getting jobs. We had a board meeting, just checking in with staff, just, trying to keep everybody up and about, just sort of, the hard part is like everything, you got no real idea when it's going to finish.
Yep. Just on a positive, last week you said that, one of your sponsors, one of your board members was involved in a mine up in the northwest. Did you end up being able to relocate a couple of your staff members to the mine in a fly-in, fly-out scenario?
Yeah, it looks that way. There's about 20 staff who have put their hand up to go up there, so they're just going through the appropriate bits now, which is great. And a couple of people have got some jobs in some call centres. There's some businesses that are, cranking up, and others that aren't. There's a few that are packing shelves at Coles, but we're just trying to check in with everyone to see what they're up to, because it's an interesting time, and also just talking to our sponsors, just seeing how they're travelling in all of this, we've got Ned's, obviously, that the races are still going. We've got Hyundai. We've got XL, who, do transport and things like that. So just sort of checking in with all those guys to see what parts of their business is going well and what aren't. And so, it's just one of those things where, probably, when you touched on at the start, buying shares in Zoom, I think Telstra's probably another one you could buy shares in. There's lots of phone calls and lots of chats happening between all sorts of people. Greg, so yeah, that's been the week so far.
Greg, when you're talking to sponsors at a time like this, are you nervous about, you know, how they're feeling pouring a lot of money into a footy club when there are no games on? I mean, it's a strange time for everyone, but obviously advertisers in any business right now would be feeling nervous, you would think.
Yeah, look, and I think that's right. I mean, it's just, you know, we've obviously, there's a contract where there's payments to be made and we've got to deliver certain things. And at the moment, we can't do that. Like, you know, we're obviously not playing games, so there's no TV coverage and signage and all those things, even chairman's functions and, you know, everything that goes into the contracts. But, you know, you're still talking to them saying that that's probably, you know, there's still a possibility that's going to happen at the end of the year. And look, to be honest with you, certainly in our case, and I think most clubs are the same, the sponsors have been fantastic. You know, they're sticking with the clubs where they can. And, you know, it's just one of those ones where you just sort of go ahead in good faith and, you know, at the end of the year, you'll sit down and work out, you know, where it all landed. Because at the moment, you know, we're all guessing where it's going to go. Mm. But, you know, most of those sponsors, certainly in our case, have been fantastic.
Still no... Sorry, Richo, you go.
No, you go, mate. I'll go next.
I just wanted to ask Swanee if there'd been any indication at all from the AFL over the meetings the last few days as to when football could potentially return?
No, not really. Okay. We haven't had that, no. We've just, you know, we've been encouraging everyone, obviously, through our channels to follow the orders and, you know, keep distance, stay home, all that sort of stuff where you can. But no, there's no... Yeah, we're due sort of to come back and have a discussion end of April, really, about possibly, you know, where the 31st of May was the date that we deferred it to. So there'll probably be another month or so before we know, or hopefully know, what's going to happen. But at this stage, nothing.
Swanee, what about the membership debate that we've seen in the news today? Have you had many Lions supporters asking for refunds? And I'm just interested in some of the higher level sponsorship coterie members, that the people that are putting in, you know, thousands of dollars, have you had them retain theirs as well?
Yeah, look, most we had a payment run from our membership on Monday, actually, and we'd sent out an email saying that, you know, if you've got problems to let us know, and, you know, you can opt out. But, you know, incredibly for us, you know, we had hardly any who opted out. And, you know, I know the debate's been raging in the last couple of days, but I think it's true that, you know, the members actually see that and know that they own the club, and, you know, whilst they can and if they can, they'll continue to support the club. And so that's been the overwhelming response, certainly from our membership. And, you know, and as far as coteries and memberships, members go, like, so most of them pay along the way. So, you know, some of them have stopped, obviously, and waiting to see where it goes. So, you know, and those that have paid, we're in discussions and, you know, talking to them about what it might look like. But it's the same thing. It's just sort of trying to be honest about it. You know, all of our revenues stop. You know, so it's not like we're swimming in cash, being able to sort of sort these things out. So it's just been continually sort of updating it. And again, most of the people are in the same boat. So it's not like, you know, we're telling them, you know, they've got things happening on the other side for them where people might owe them money and then, you know, they're struggling to pay and things like that. So it's all, there's a lot of discussions and, but as I said, most of the people, well, certainly 99% of them in our place have been fantastic. And the membership, you know, they, I think, you know, they're keen for the clubs to survive. They're keen for us to get back and play because it's going to be an outlet for them when it hopefully all turns. And so, they've been fantastic, our supporters and members.
Swanee, what about the players? How often are they in touch with the club? Is it daily or is it every couple of days? And how are they staying connected with everything that's going on at the club and staying in touch with their coaching staff?
Yeah, we've got, you know, they've got the old WhatsApp groups and things that they keep in touch with each other. I know Fags is doing a bit of a ring around. He talks to them, you know, on a rotation, you know, once or twice a week, just checks in with how they're going, and then other coaches do. But, you know, we've really encouraged them to keep connecting with themselves, and that's happening at the moment, so it's good. And, yeah, everyone's checking in. I mean, a few have gone back to the farms. You know, Hughie McCluggage is back at his folks' dairy farm, and he's out helping milk cows and things like that. And everyone's doing something a bit different. One of our, Noah Answorth, on the news up here locally, he was an apprentice chippy, so he's gone back getting back on the tools and doing some work around the place. So, yeah, everyone's doing something different, but we're making sure that we keep in touch with them. And obviously they're still doing a little bit of work and keeping themselves in good nick, but it's given them a chance probably in the first instance to, also freshen up, and the season's only just started, but, just clear your mind for a week or two and, then hopefully focus on getting fit and getting back. For them to be prepared for when we do get back, that they're ready to go.
Appreciate your time as always, Greg. I think that was a buzz in the background. There's another teleconference call that Gil has called. Good luck for the rest of the week and have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Greg Swan, CEO of the Brisbane Lions. Before we take a break, Tom's also on the line. We'll get to you after the break, if you don't mind, Tom. Can I ask you, Richo, your thoughts on the whole North Melbourne, Tasmania discussion throughout the week?
Probably an old discussion, probably one that didn't need to be had again. And I think it's pretty clear now that people in Tasmania want their own team, and the whole relocation argument's getting old for mine. Mm. So I think if Tassie has a team, it's a new licence, which obviously now is probably a little way off with what's happened to the game economically. But I think the North Melbourne to Tassie relocation thing's an old argument for mine.
Well said, Richo. This is Sports Day for Australian Made. Boost your sales with the Australian Made logo. Don't go anywhere. After news headlines, we're going to hear Matthew Richardson redo the top 10 of the 2000 National Draft. Pressure's on, Richo. Now time for news headlines with Tony Tardio.
Okay, let's get stuck into it. Matthew Richardson is here for Macca's. New 100% Aussie grass-fed beef burger, naturally delicious. And, Richo, you would have had to swallow a couple of those to get yourself ready for redrafting the 2000 National Draft. In order, the top 10 were Nick Riewoldt, Justin Kaczynski, Alan Didak in 3, Luke Livingston in 4 to the Blues. He played 46 games. McDougall in 5, played 38 games with West Coast Eagles, 5 with Western Bulldogs. Dylan Smith came in next in pick number 6, 20 games for the Kangaroos. Lawrence Engwin went to Adelaide. Daniel Motlop, he played for the Kangaroos and finished up with Port Adelaide at 8. Kane Pettifer with the Tigers at 9. And then Jordan McMahon to round it out. He played for the Tigers and had a long career. And the Dogs, of course. Thank you, Scragger. And can I just go through the 50s? In number 50 was Dominic Cassisi. Then, of course, there was Eamon Buchanan at 52, Hayden Skipworth at 53, Chris Newman, captain of the Tigers at 55, playing 268 games, Daniel Cross, an All-Australian, and 249 games for the Western Bulldogs and the Demons, Nathan Loney with 105 games for the Hawks. They had a pretty good 50s in those days, Richo, but your challenge was to redraft it and come up with a new top 10.
Yeah, Jared, always a tough ask, isn't it, going back and doing these sort of things? But I've gone at number one. I don't think you can argue that Nick Riewoldt would be the number one pick in that draft. I mean, there's a lot of good players in it, but I think Nick stays at number one. Number two, Sean Burgoyne, 378 games, All-Australian, 4 premierships. Number three, Daniel Kerr.
Can I just ask you, did you consider Burgoyne at number one at all?
For a millisecond, okay. But I think Nick is an automatic Hall of Famer as soon as he becomes eligible, and he's best and fairest, and I think he was, sixth best and fairest at St Kilda. But, yeah, Burgoyne was as close as anyone, obviously, to Nick. Number three, Daniel Kerr, West Coast Eagles. Mm-hmm. Number four, I left Alan Didak. He dropped from 3 to 4. Didak, 2 All-Australians, best and fairest, Copeland Trophy winner. Number five, Drew Petrie. I just think 332 games, All-Australian player, key position, could play anywhere, ruck, could go back, forward, kick big bags of goals. Number six, a very underrated player in my opinion, but another All-Australian, another 300-gamer, Scotty Thompson. Number seven is the only rookie. So this guy wasn't even taken in the national draft. Number seven, 2 premierships, 1 at Sydney, 1 at Collingwood. Ruckman are hard to find, Darren Jolly, number seven. Number eight, a guy that ended up going from Essendon to Sydney and became an All-Australian defender, 250 games, Teddy Richards. Number nine, two All-Australians, Hall of Fame at Port Adelaide, four best and fairest, Kane Corns. And this was a tough one. This is the one I struggled at. Number 10.
Before you go, I'll give you a couple that you haven't mentioned. Okay. An old teammate of yours, Mark Coughlin. Dom Cassisi. They're all good players, Richo. You don't have to square up with them. Daniel Pratt.
All right.
Sav Rocker. Justin Kaczynski. Guy Richards. I don't think you've mentioned Chris Newman. Daniel Cross.
Haven't.
You haven't mentioned. Gee, this is a big call.
Josh Hunt.
This is a large call, this one, Richo. Mike Sheen has 15 blokes at 51, and I assume you've got a lot of blokes at 11. But give us your number 10.
Now, I just want to put an asterisk on Sav Rocker because he was redrafted to North Melbourne. So I've gone with the guys that were drafted as 18-year-olds, okay?
Yep.
Number 10, all of those names that you just mentioned. But in the end, I've gone with Chris Newman, 270 games, captained the Richmond Footy Club for 4 years. And I guess I saw him up close. So I've gone with Newey at pick number 10.
Well, it's a pretty good top 10, Rich. I don't think, I mean, you can challenge, but if you're going to put one out, you have to, sorry, put one in.
I had a similar top 10.
Well, give us yours, Scoop, from the bottom.
From one? Rewalt, Burgoyne, Kerr, Corns, Petrie, Didak, Thompson, Newman, Cross, Richards.
Who do you feel most guilty about leaving out, Richo?
Probably the last name you mentioned there, just because he was such a hard worker in Daniel Cross and got the best out of himself. Look, Justin Kaczynski was number two in that draft, and, you know, he had some really good years, some St Kilda, but I think injuries got him in the end, but I you know who I feel the most guilty of?
I know who it is. Your mate Kane Pettifer. There's no doubt.
I've had to leave a guy that was in my wedding party out. I was in his wedding party in the P train, Kane Pettifer. He's not going to talk to me for a few days.
Richo, not only does he listen to this show, but as he told his Instagram followers today, ran the 10 today, Jared, and ran 16:55 and was very, very happy with it, Richo.
Well, that would have been a good time when he played it. Richie. He never ran it that quick when he played it, Richmond. I'll give you the tip.
Daniel Pratt's another name. I see you
taking
at number 42, now a valued assistant coach over in the West. There are some great stories. There's some disappointing stories, and everybody has their own. But it's just once again reiterates that getting selected is just the start of the challenge. It's making the most of the opportunity is the number one issue. We're going to take a break, Richo. Mark from South Melbourne wants to join us. We'll talk to him after the break. But don't forget, it is open season at Kia with match-winning deals and Australia's best seven-year warranty across the range. More Richo.
Yes, no, Richo.
Yes, no, after this.
A sports news update for Tyre Power. In tough times, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer is here to help. Tyrepower.com.au.
Your calls in just a moment, but it is time for the world-famous Yes No Richo. It's for Macca's grass-fed beef burger. Naturally delicious. Jared, take it away.
Hand on heart, Richo. Yes or no? Richo, have you hoarded toilet paper from any supermarket or, in fact, the offices of Channel 7?
No.
Have you hoarded methylated spirits for homemade sanitizer?
No.
Have you started a DIY project since the lockdown?
Yes.
Yes, I actually was ordered to Hames Paints to get some stain for the fence, to finish that fence. Have you been handed a list of DIY projects from Jen?
Yes.
Have you had a lockdown skirmish as yet with Jen?
Multiple.
This is Yes No for Richo for Macca's grass-fed beef burger, naturally delicious. Richo, on a more serious note, if there's no crowds when the season kicks off again, should games be played at suburban grounds like the Witten Oval, Moorabbin, Icon Park, Punt Road, etc.?
Yes.
Lee Matthews threw his support behind the idea of a best of three grand final series. Do you think it's a good idea, yes or no?
No, but I now understand it's more an economic response.
Just no will do you, Richo. So, you don't have to square up with him.
He doesn't
raise the elbow anymore. Do you believe Ross Lyon has been a successful coach?
Yes.
Eddie versus TJ, Caro versus Brayshaw, Cochrane versus Lyon, Lethal versus the AFLPA of sorts.
And we're only into the 11th day without footy. Do you fear an all-out war is about to erupt?
Yes.
With State League footy potentially struggling, is now the time for the AFL to consider a national reserves competition?
Yes.
Should all coaches, namely the likes of Ken Hinckley, be given a lifeline to coach in 2021? Should they, in fact, be given a mulligan?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think so, yes.
Should golf be banned, Richo?
Golf? No, we need golf.
Should swimming be banned?
No.
As we get away from, as we conclude our yes, no, Richo, we can't finish this without you telling us what the DIY projects are, because our audience needs some sort of picture of you in the house and what you'll be doing.
It's more maintenance what I'm doing, Scoop. So deck, getting the deck looking nice again. You know how they fade and look old. So that's probably number one at the moment. But more cleaning and maintenance issues around my house.
Richo, zero being no idea and 10 being I'll never need to hire a person to my house ever. What are you on the scale of DIY handyman?
Oh, look, I'm just above zero. I don't think I'd be... I don't think I'd be a one. I'm hopeless. I'm not the man. That's why I'm more a maintenance and cleaning man.
A man with a broom. Tom's on the line. Welcome to you, Tom.
Oh, g'day, fellas. Thanks for the opportunity to have a chat. Look, I just wanted to... two of our kids lost their roles, jobs, and we're hanging in with the club, but the government's job seeker... JobKeeper is going to be great, and that's another reason for people to try to hang in there to support the club. The other thing I wanted to think, I think it's timely the AFL, over a bit of time after this trauma, and given what's happened across the nation, seriously considers gets behind an Australian company to produce wool and apparel. I think the whole country needs to become self-reliant, get more manufacturing back here. Even though money's going to be tight, I think the mood from people I talk to is we want to get Australian jobs back home, we want to get Australian manufacturing, and I think it's a real opportunity. A couple of companies doing it. We bought some woolen gear off them. It's not cheap, and I take it on board, but I think there could be a big push if the AFL could get behind a woolen industry or something like that and make this stuff back home. In terms of the stadium... Marvel has saved their bacon for sure, and I think over time, now this will take a lot of time, the AFL needs to consider owning another stadium, either West Australia or South Australia, and for God's sake, let's give ultimately Tassie a team, because it's cruel. It is absolutely cruel.
Appreciate your time, Tom. We've got about 30 seconds, Mark.
My question is, Eddie Everywhere is complaining about membership. They get $12 million and they've still got their coaching panel getting paid. Look at St Kilda, they're $12 million in debt. I take my membership back, the club will go broke. And the next question is...
No more time for the next question, Mark. You had your 25 seconds. I've got to say goodbye to you, Richo, and all the best to Jen. And let's hope things are fine when you get home.
Yeah, stay safe, guys, and good to talk to you as always.
The great Matthew Richardson there. This is Sports Day. It's all for Tyre Power, your trusted tyre experts. We are coming up to the 7 o'clock news.
Sports Day for Kia's open season, continuing with match-winning deals. And Red Energy, a 100% Australian gas and electricity retailer.
7 minutes past seven. Welcome to Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty, and Red Energy, born and bred in Red Energy. That's Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne, I should say. Well, it's time to welcome some of our callers from country Tasmania, Jared, country Victoria, country New South Wales. And let's get some of them, whatever you want to talk about. Membership, Chris Scott taking a pay cut, which is what Ted's going to first talk about. There's plenty of stuff, Jared, although there's no sport on, to talk about at the moment.
Indeed, there is, Scoop, and that's why I've just designated you to head up a new segment out of the 7 o'clock news each and every night.
Which is?
Scoop's editorial is about to join us. And it won't start tonight. You've got 24 hours... You've got. Given we don't do one tomorrow night,
4 days,
Monday night, Scoop's editorial, out of seven. It can go anywhere. It can be involved in any element of the world, Scoop. I'm not limiting you to sport.
Excellent.
You can just get take political. It wherever you like it. You can bring out your Chardonnay political views. This is Sports Day, as Scoop said, for Rhea, for Kia, for Rhea, for Kia, and of course, Red Energy. And let's go to your calls now. Ted's been hanging on the line from Somerville. Welcome to you, Ted.
Thank you, gentlemen. Just one question. I appreciate that Mr. Scott, from the coach from Geelong, was the first to say he'll take a wage cut.
Yep.
And the footballers have wage down, which they've been well paid over the years, I know. But what about the CEO? He gets about $3 million a year.
CEO's copped it. Yaz, he's getting the same cut as the players, which if they don't play again this year, it works out to about 64%. Chris Scott's actually gone a hell of a lot better than that. He's gone zero. Zero whilst his assistant coaches aren't being paid. So obviously he would have been paid up to this point.
So zero for the next 8 weeks is what it looks like.
Zero for the next 8 weeks, given that we're back to work on June the 21st, according to those who think they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure as to what date.
How can anybody be sure? But let's hope they're right. And it's the penciled-in date is, I think, really what they're saying, is June the 21st, which would be roughly, what, April, May, June. That would be about the halfway mark of the season normally.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's move on. Thank you, Ted. Thanks for your call to Wodonga. Up on the border, Alan, what's making news there?
Yeah, good evening, Jared and Scoop. I rang the other night, and we were talking about North Melbourne relocating over to Tassie.
Yep.
And I passed on what I'd said earlier to him.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect the call back because I thought you guys had finished with it. But I grew up in Port Melbourne and South Melbourne.
Yeah.
And my feeling was that they sort of won't ever have their original name. Like South Melbourne's gone, you know yourself. You've played in Sydney, and they're now the Sydney Swans, and South Melbourne no longer exists because of the AFL team.
Yeah.
But
are you happy though? Were you one? Obviously, you were disaffected by the whole thing, and I mean, I wasn't a Swans supporter. I was a St Kilda supporter when I was a young bloke. But to me, it's been a good result. Because a lot of Swans people, and Bob Skilton was probably a bloke who took years to turn it around, but when Richard Collis got up there with the two teams, one team focus, I think it's been a pretty good result all round.
No, I have to agree with you because I'm one of those persons that I always think that you've got to think for the future and you've got to go with it. You know, and I always think that that's the way it is. But the only thing my grip is like South Melbourne's gone. Like I ran into a bloke, mate of mine, hadn't seen him for years, and because I went to school with Peter Bedford, and Peter wanted to coach him. And anyway,
South definitely gone, Alan. But the Swans are still alive, and when that was the issue, when North Melbourne were given the opportunity to go north, I know there was issues around the stadium, but history may. Looks on it favourably at the moment, but another 10, 20 years down the track, it'll be interesting to see whether history still looks on it favourably. Good on you, Alan. Thanks for your call, and keep on giving us some feedback from up on the border. Simon's next. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes, Simon, you want to talk about the golf?
Yeah, the other night, boys, you mentioned how people can't play golf in say, a foursome. You can't shake hands. That's fine, but when it comes to swapping cards, why can't someone invent an app where you can score on your phone? So instead of swapping cards, you're scoring for old mate on your phone and you're scoring for you on his phone. And at the end of the day, it saves someone in the clubhouse reading through these through these little paper folders. And it automatically updates your handicap and everything like that. And these times, you find ways around things that you've been doing for years and find more appropriate ways of doing things.
Absolutely spot on, Simon. Yeah. Had this discussion with Adrian Anderson, former CEO of the football operations of the AFL. He's now on the national board. And, you know, they were concerned about people handling cards. And I said, well, just take a photo of it. Everybody Mark your own car, take a photo of it. And if you seriously, I mean, if you're going to cheat, yeah, well, then you'll be found out eventually. And if you don't get found out in this time, you'll get found out eventually. It can all be done on the phone, Simon. You're absolutely spot on.
I think there is actually an app. Don't quote me on this. I think there is an app called MyGolf from memory.
Does it really matter at this time, though? I mean, ultimately, it's just about getting out into the fresh air.
Oh, no, of course not. Playing golf. No, it doesn't matter at all. I mean, I don't think many people, Jared, would care if there was a competition or you're not keeping score or it's the mental aspect more of it.
Yep.
Just get out and walk.
Yep. And you can do that without a golf club in your hand. Everyone understands that.
It's a good way to ruin the walk, though, if you've got a 5-iron in your hand.
Yeah, you can have some highlights. I haven't played golf for a long time, so I'm not speaking out of self-interest here, but I just think 6 months is a long, long, long time. And hopefully it's not 6 months, but I think we're going to be looking for things that we think we can do safely.
Well, so you can play golf anywhere in the country at the moment apart from Victoria.
Yep.
I think the golf courses have been advised by Golf Australia that April 13 will be the minimum time in which you could, that would be the earliest time we could return to golf.
Yep.
Andrew Newbold, who's the boss of Golf Australia, also commissioner at the AFL, former president of the Hawks, he's going to join us next week to talk all things golf. Jared, I look forward to that.
Well, let's get him on to talk golf and we'll ask 3 golf questions and we'll hammer him about the AFL.
But don't tell him that.
Don't let him know that. Richo also joins us in the early part of the program. For those people who are just listening and just tuned in, let's replay what he had to say in Yes, No, Richo
yes,
for
no.
Wilson Homes. And you can chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. Now, before we go with Richo, I did give a direct request to Scragger about a week ago, and as yet, nothing has turned up. But whoever you are, Mr. Wilson, we would like to talk to you at some stage to find out who you are.
Brooksy always delivers.
He always, I know he does. We need to put a face to the name Wilson Homes.
Mr. and Mrs. Wilson.
So at some stage in the next week or two, let's see if we can talk to Mr. Wilson or Mrs. Wilson, whoever the power broker is, and tell us about the homes that we keep on pumping up. Here's Yes No for Richo. And on hard, Richo, yes or no? Richo, have you hoarded toilet paper from any supermarket or, in fact, the offices of Channel 7?
No.
Have you hoarded methylated spirits for homemade sanitizer?
No.
Have you started a DIY project since the lockdown?
Yes.
Yes, I actually was ordered to Hames Paints to get some stain for the fence, to finish that fence. Have you been handed a list of DIY projects from Jen?
Yes.
Have you had a lockdown skirmish as yet with Jen?
Multiple.
This is Yes No for Richo for Matt's yes. Grass-fed beef burger, naturally delicious. Richo, on a more serious note, if there's no crowds when the season kicks off again, should games be played at suburban grounds like the Witten Oval, Moorabbin, Icon Park, Punt Road, etc.?
Yes.
Lee Matthews threw his support behind the idea of a best of 3 grand final series. Do you think it's a good idea, yes or no?
No, but I now understand it's more an economic
Just no, will do you, Richo. So, you don't have to square
no,
up him.
He doesn't
raise the elbow anymore. Do you believe Ross Lyon has been a successful coach?
Yes.
Eddie versus TJ, Caro versus Brayshaw, Cochran versus Lyon, Lethal versus the AFLPA of sorts. And we're only into the 11th day without footy. Do you fear an all-out war is about to erupt?
Yes.
With state league footy potentially struggling, is now the time for the AFL to consider a national reserves competition?
Yes.
Should all coaches one? Should they in fact be given a mulligan?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Should golf be banned, Richo?
Golf? No. We need golf.
Should swimming be banned?
No.
As we get away from, as we conclude our Yes, No, Richo, we can't finish this without you telling us what the DIY projects are, because our audience needs some sort of picture of you in the house and what you'll be doing.
It's more maintenance what I'm doing, Scoop. So deck, getting the deck looking nice again. You know how the,
yep.
they fade and look old. So that's probably number one at the moment. But more cleaning and maintenance issues around my house.
Matthew Richardson there on Yes, No, Richo. He strayed away from the yeses or the noes, Jared, when you asked him about if he's had any arguments with Jen. So I really enjoyed that. Multiple.
Yes. Are you feeling tension at your place of residence? You're living with your...
Nisha and I yep. are yet to have an argument, but it's on the cards.
Anybody else having problems in the lockdown, give us a call. 13 13 32 is the Harcourt's open line. We've got an advisory service here. We may be able to help you out with your domestic issues.
There must be a lot of people, though, Jared, that the cabin fever of being locked inside your house.
13 13 32 is the number. Give us a call. Tell us what you've been blowing about at home. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're still here for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Richo was asked today to redraw the 2000 draft.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2000 draft was as a top 10. It was both good and bad. Nick Riewoldt was an out-and-out superstar, will become a legend of the game. Justin Gazici, a good player, along with Alan Didak in number 3. Luke Livingston, Andrew McDougall, Dylan Smith and Lawrence Angwin.
Lawrence Angwin.
All struggled yes. to make a mark. Daniel Motlop had his moments. Kane Pettifer, a consistent player for the Tigers. And Jordan McMahon made a significant contribution as well.
Yep.
Just going back to Andrew McDougall.
Mm.
He played with two clubs. He played 38 games with the West Coast Eagles. It was very promising early and clearly had a lot of talent. Ended up being traded to the Western Bulldogs. And he joined that long list of Western Bulldog players
mm.
that were drafted to fill that troublesome spot at centre-half forward. Now, they had Chris Grant there for a period of time. But he ended up probably playing. Be interesting to know whether people think he played his best footy at centre-half back or centre-half forward. He was excellent at both, but I reckon he probably nailed centre-half back the best. So they went on a two-decade search for another tall forward. And so McDougall, who played 5 games for the Dogs, joined the list of Sadat Sir, Danny Del Rey, Shane Lovelace, Patrick Wiggins, Daniel Bandy from the Fremantle Dockers, Jade Rawlings, came via North Melbourne and North Melbourne, Tom Boyd, Andrew McDougall. Tom Boyd, I should say, played a significant role in the
Premiership. Yep, 16.
So for that period of time, he was an unbelievably successful unit, but has since gone to...
different areas.
Retiredsville. Yep. James Cook was a high draft pick from Tasmania, struggled to make an impact. And Simon Minton-Connell came from the Blues and went there. And then there's probably two or three. Now, Barry Hall was there, but yep. you know, Barry Hall actually did the job there for a period of time, but he was another one.
So on Chris Grant, so me growing up in the 90s, I always remember Chris Grant as a forward. I don't know if he played back, but I think I'd always remember him as a forward. I think the year that he came close to winning the Brownlow, I know he was suspended.
Yeah.
He was a forward in 97.
37 goals that year.
Did he? A bit like Matthew Pavlich, Jared. Like, I always remember Pav as a forward, but he was all Australian at both ends.
Yeah.
So one of the few to do that. So Matthew Richardson, just for those who wanted to be caught up with it, Richo redid the top 10, and his top 10 were in order from 1.
Go from the bottom.
Okay, from 10. Chris Newman, Kane Corns, Ted Richards, Darren Jolly, who was a rookie that year, Scott Thompson, Drew Petrie, Alan Didak, Daniel Kerr, Sean Burgoyne, and no one's going to move, I don't think, Nick Riewoldt out of number 1 position. Riewoldt, Burgoyne, Kerr, Didak, Petrie, Thompson, Jolly, Richards, Corns, Newman.
Yeah, I think it gets debatable around 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with 1, 2, 3. I reckon you could switch 4, 5, and 6 in any order and not be neither right nor wrong. You could probably throw Darren Jolly into that mix as well, to be honest. Ted Richards, what a pickup he was for the Sydney Swans for a period of time. Chris, look, to be honest, I think missing out on Daniel Cross.
Yeah, I had him at 8.
You had him at 8?
Yeah.
I think Cross would be – sometimes there's always one that should be in, but given that you've got limited numbers, he can't be in. you could argue Chris Newman v. Daniel Cross. Daniel Cross v. Kane Corns. Probably Corns, he's got best and fairest to his name on it. Did Daniel Cross win a best and fairest? He got one as well. So it's a line ball.
There's lots of fascinating stories, Jared, out of this one. I'll just give one for 10 seconds. Pick number 39, Adam McPhee. Yep. Started at Frio, played a lot of his time at Essendon, then went back to Frio. 223 games. People forget, he won a best and fairest in the early 2000s with the Bombers and All-Australian. Like, he was, for a short time, I know, but he was a very good footballer.
Oh, absolutely. I actually saw him 2 weeks ago down at the launch of Ina Pelli in Geelong.
Still looking unbelievably fit.
He looked fit, yep. He's got the lasers for memory. We've got to take a break. Scoop's getting very angry out there, not Scoops, Gregor. We'll take a break here on Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best seven. Okay, Scragger. Welcome back to Sports Day for our great friends in Tasmania, Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. And at home in Hobart, we can join the chief football writer or the chief football journalist for News Tasmania on Channel 9 in Brent Costello. We only have chief football writers or journalists on this program, Brent, so welcome to the club.
Thanks for having me, Jared. Sam, how are you, mate?
We're good.
What's making news down there, Brent, outside of the fact that horse racing has been cancelled for at least a month? In fact, let's start with that one because it's been the most enduring sport of all, but finally it's been cancelled down in Tassie.
Yeah, it has. It took us all by surprise this afternoon. The Premier, Peter Gutwin, announced it at about 3:30. We all thought we might be the last place to lose racing, given we're surrounded by water here in Tasmania, but here we are, the first cab off the rank. So it did take us all by surprise. To give you a little bit of background, there was a greyhound meeting scheduled for Devonport on Tuesday.
Yep.
They lease the track from the Devonport Agricultural Society, and they actually locked the gates on Tas Racing on Tuesday, given they didn't have a permit yet to continue with racing in Tasmania. That permit was granted yesterday. There was racing, thoroughbred racing in Launceston last night, and here we are now, just over 24 hours later, with racing cancelled for the next at least 4 weeks.
We spoke to Andrew Bensley about this last Friday night, and he said that Racing Victoria, racing clubs right around the country had done absolutely everything to make sure it kept going. What has changed, and what was the Premier's rationale for knocking it on the head?
Well, I think we have racing all over the state, and he's trying to stop the movement from area to area with horses and greyhounds moving around from place to place. So that's the thing I took out of it. Where the 4 weeks has come from, I'm not sure. But what we do know is this is a massive industry here in Tasmania. It injects about $103 million into the economy every year, 5,000 participants across the three codes. A lot are reliant on the industry for their primary incomes, of course, so it's going to really hurt. There's going to be a support package announced in the coming days which will help the industry, and I think they'll also be eligible for parts of the Tasmanian federal assistance as well, but it's certainly going to shock a few people in the industry, that's for sure. So we'll see what happens the next couple of days.
Hey Brent, how many waves have the comments of Caroline Wilson and the consequential rebuffs from the North Melbourne Football Club about footy in Tasmania, how have they gone down south of the border?
Yeah, look, Sam, not a heap has been spoken about it. I think everyone's mind's elsewhere at the moment with what's going on around the world. Yeah. So it hasn't been brought to my attention too much. Obviously, I've followed the story being a sports journo. And,
chief football writer, the chief football writer. Thank you very much, Brent.
Thank you, Jared. Yeah, so I found it fascinating, always do, when Tassie gets brought up in AFL conversations, of course. But from my point of view, and I've said this all along, I've lived here all my life, 36 years, and I just don't think it would work anyway for North Melbourne to come down here. And a lot of people have said that the last couple of days as well. We know the task force put out the report earlier this year. We want our own team. That's what we want here in Tasmania, not a team to relocate that's already got so much history, et cetera. And for it to work, I think it has to be our own team as well.
So, Brent, you'd rather no team at all if they're not going to send one down and they're not going to create one in the next, 15, 20 years? You'd rather wait?
Yeah, I think so. I think for it to work as well, we're going to have to, because I just don't think North Melbourne would work. With all due respect to them, for them to go into Launceston now, I think would be a disaster with what Hawthorn's done up there. They're firmly entrenched into the community. And I just think if Tassie did come in our own right in the competition, I'm a massive West Coast Eagles supporter, have been for a long time, I'd have two teams. I could not go for a Tasmanian team. I'd have to go for them as well as the club I've got. But if it was a Tasmanian Kangaroos and it had a smell of North Melbourne about it, I'd stick with West Coast, I reckon. Even though I'd probably go and watch the footy, I wouldn't go every week. I'm not sure I'd be a member. But a Tasmanian team in our own right, I certainly would be. So it's a hard one because you're right, Sam. You're sort of saying no to having football here permanently when you could have a relocated team. But I just think it needs to be a Tasmanian team in our own right.
Yeah, I've got to say, Brent, I agree 100% with you. I think the bird has flown there for the Kangaroos to go north. I don't think any merger with the Suns would work, and I think the bird has flown for them to relocate down to Tassie. And I also think the deal that they've got will run out the next time it concludes. So I have been there for many, many a North Melbourne game. I speak to Chesty, the fisherman, down at Hobart a lot. I speak to his wife, Lou, who is always filling me in on the mood of the place. And it just would appear pretty clear that the Kangaroos just haven't been able to bridge that gap between being a visiting side and being one that's held reasonably close to the bosom of the average Hobartian.
Yeah, and obviously it helps with the fixtures you draw as well. We often get GWS here in Hobart. Fremantle is supposed to come this year, I think. West Coast too. Does have a reasonable supporter base here in Tassie, but you do need the big drawing clubs to make it work, I guess. And we're never going to get a Collingwood to Bunsen Arena or an Essendon or something like that. But, you guys have probably heard the figures as well with our own AFL team. It would be a massive economic driver for the state. Yeah. We know that. So maybe this is the time that, as Hutchie said on Footy Classified the other night, maybe Tassie will have a check to wave around, and can the AFL ignore us at this crucial time moving forward? But on the other hand, will Tassie have the money to be able to do that now with what's going on? So it's a very interesting time in footy. We all know that. So where it lands is going to be fascinating.
What about the local game, Brent? They're obviously, like everybody, in hiatus. Is there any chance it may kick off later on in the year?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure, to be honest. And
well, if you're not sure, Brent, as the chief football writer, we're struggling.
I'm not sure it can happen, really, yeah. Because speaking to footy clubs, that they might be better off not playing at all this year financially. That's we'll the see. Thing. Yeah. And putting the season on ice and just focusing on next year. So it might actually cost them more to play than it would if they don't. So maybe moving forward, that's the way they need to do it. And the other thing is, with our state league footy competition down here, each club gets $100,000 from the AFL each year. And they're going to find out, they might have found out today, probably going to find out tomorrow if they're going to get that funding or not. And the way the AFL is at the moment, you think that won't happen either. So, a lot of stuff to work out here over the next couple of months with local footy, that's for sure.
How's the town in general, Brent?
Yeah, look, it's quiet, that's for sure, yeah. There's not many people about, as expected, with these lockdown laws. So I'm only travelling to and from work at the moment. So looking around town and driving through town, yeah, it's pretty quiet. So, it's pretty sad, isn't it, at the moment?
Have you seen Big Bull Baker down there of recent times?
I have, actually. Yeah, I interviewed the Big Bull a couple of weeks ago when he played in Relive the Rivalry, which is a Legends game down here. I'm not sure why you haven't played it, actually, Jared, with your credentials for the Victoria All-Stars.
Good point.
Haven't pulled the boots on for some time, but probably a shade fit of the Big Bull Baker at the moment.
Well, the Big Bull went all right in that game. He was up at Penguin on the northwest coast. He kicked four goals.
Okay. So, oh, well.
He's going okay for, I think he's 64, he told me.
That's a fantastic effort. Right. And is he still in there down near Salamanca?
He is, yes, but I'm assuming he's, like everyone down the strip at the moment, he's closed up, unfortunately. So a very nice establishment is Rockwall. So when it does open up, get along and have a Barassi steak.
Nice work, Brent. We do appreciate you joining us, and we'd love to keep in touch on a weekly basis from now on if you don't mind. We're only dealing with chief football journalists at this stage. We've got Caro, we've got Lee Matthews, we've got Richo, we've got Lloydie, and we've also got your good self, Brent. Thanks for your time.
Jared, if you can pump me up like that, I'll come on every day if you want me to. No problem at all.
All the best, mate. Have a great evening. Brent Costello, Win News Tasmania, chief football correspondent.
I still think, no, I'm not going to say that, in fact. I'm not going to say that.
You're going to drop off?
No. I've been thinking about Tassie and footy a lot the last couple of days since Caro said what she said.
Well, you're a Taswegian.
Yep, I was born there.
Yeah. So what's your thinking?
I still think they're a long way away, given what's happened now, from creating their own team. And I would like to see a team in Tassie sooner rather than later.
What, in Hobart, you mean?
Well, I don't care where it is.
Or you mean a independent Tasmanian team?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
I think everyone's on that same map. But the point is,
it just appears to be slightly bloody-minded to think we'd rather no team than a team coming down.
Well, I think we're at the point where you're either pee or get off the pot with the Tasmanian team.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a ready-made solution. We're probably not ready for the independent Tasmanian team yet. The question is, does the Premier down there re-sign the contract with the Kangaroos? And if he doesn't...
He has to.
Well, then they've got a bit of a problem. We'll take a break on Sports Day. Mm. More calls, more Tasmania right throughout the next 6 to 8 weeks, the way this debate is continuing. Welcome back to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Scoop chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyles. Let's chat some football on a local sense. And leader newspapers have been doing a great job for football coverage for many, many decades.
Yep.
And the chief football writer we only have chief football writers on this program. I have told you that is the policy. The chief football writer for the leader newspapers is Paul Amey. He joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Paul. And I guess you're working from home and you're bunkered down.
Bunkered down in the library, Jared. Yeah, we're still putting out our last round of papers for now. And we're all doing them remotely, which is quite an exercise.
Well, you've been putting out great stuff for many, many years. And unfortunately, you'd be writing, no doubt, or you have written about the demise of the Northern Blues and their split from the Blues.
Yeah, sad story, Jared. Look, we're talking about a club there that's been operating 138 years in Victorian football. Of course, they were the Northern Blues, so they've had a few names, but I think most of us know them as the Preston Bull Ants.
Yep.
Famous club. Many famous players. Kazali coached there. Young 19-year-old Ray Shaw won a Liston Trophy there in 1973. Went on to the Maggies. Yep. Alan Joyce. Yep. Some terrific names. And that's a very clear victim of this pandemic. Colton and Northern Blues, Splitsville.
So what happens to the Northern Blues? Because Carlton, in a reinvention perhaps of their second-tier club, will probably have their own reserve side, which then begs a question. What is the future of the Blues, the Northern Blues?
Well, they said last week, Jared, that they've closed the doors.
Okay.
They've folded because they haven't got the financial power to keep going as a standalone entity.
Mm.
I suspect, though, Jared, that once things settle down and we get a clearer understanding of how much football we played and where the VFL's, what it looks like, say, next year, I'm not prepared. I don't think anyone can be prepared to write off this famous old club yet. I mean, there's so many unknowns. You know, go back to, you know, running their reserves, a reserve side, as they did in the first couple of years in the comp was revamped in 2000. Well, if people are talking about, cutting list sizes,
yep.
How much of an exercise will that be for Carlton to go and, you know, source supplementary players for their VFL team?
it's a big exercise. You know, they've got to, they've virtually got to run two football clubs, so that's a big cost issue there. You know, I get the feeling that we haven't seen the end of the Northern Blues, and nor that alignment. We might be proved wrong, but you know, I don't think we can rush to judgments. You know, at this stage, even though. I mean, Carlton came out and said that's the end of the road. So, look, it's as if the Northern Blues have vanished into thin air. There hasn't been any statement from AFL Vic,
so Paul,
nor the AFL.
So, Paul, if what you're saying is right, and it's not really a cost issue. I mean, it's a cost issue now, but when it comes back to playing footy and needing more state league teams. You think Carlton will find it more expensive to create their own than to go back to the Northern Blues?
Oh, look, I'm not 100% over all the numbers, but just from what I hear about what some of the other alignments are, you know, how they operate, some of the models and what AFL clubs contribute to the VFL clubs, and I think it varies. Maybe there's still some hope. They will need a VFL competition in some form next year, because it's hard to imagine that the AFL will be in a position to get the AFL reserves back up and running.
What do you see for local football in a general sense for this year? Do you think it will get underway at any stage?
Who would know, Jared, but look, I certainly think that, you know, speaking to some of the leagues in the last couple of days, they've sort of got fingers crossed that we can get on top of this damn thing and, you know, maybe get in a shortened season that who knows, may or may not push into the cricket season. I mean, that's probably a discussion to come, isn't it? AFL Victoria jumping on the horn to Cricket Victoria. And saying, well, these are exceptional circumstances. We know there's that division between the seasons.
Yeah.
If that's ever going to change, these are the exceptional circumstances to make that happen. I mean, I think that's when you think about it, how many games do cricketers lose to wet weather in October? Mm. We had a really wet season, really wet start, so. Maybe there's a little bit of ground there to give, and maybe push the cricket season back a few weeks next year.
Interesting concept. I don't mind it, Paul, because often the bloke who plays centre half forward for the local team also opens the bowling.
That's true, Jack. But look, I certainly think there's, from what I understand, there's been a bit of a there's been some talks about that of pop some questions to AFL Vic and Cricket Victoria in the last 24 hours. I mean, that's the Cricket Victoria has actually got on its website the division and the determination of Martin Pakula last year, where he set down, he stipulated the football season is confined to 1st of April to 30 September. And then it's cricket's time. So cricket runs from 1st October, 31st of March. And that was, he made that determination. He said, because there'd been differences that have arisen between cricket authorities and the Australian football authorities in regard to the respective lengths of the cricket and footy seasons and arrangements for pre-season ground preparation and practice for each sport on playing grounds that are on Crown land. So, I mean, that's set in stone, but if anything was going to change it, I think I think this pandemic may be a little tipping point. Look, who knows how it'll play out?
Can you tell us about the politics of what's happening in municipal leagues and country leagues, given that AFL Victoria's CEO, who used to be Stephen Reaper, who's moved on, I can't find his name anywhere. Who's running the show at the moment?
Jared, effectively, the VFL and the NAB League, they're operated by the AFL now. And AFL Victoria concerns itself with essentially community football.
But has anybody replaced Stephen Reaper at all? Is that an appointment pending?
I think there was a big reshuffle. I'm not sure what Stephen's doing, but the head of AFL Victoria is Ricky Bell.
Okay.
So he sort of looks after AFL Victoria, and the VFL these days is essentially a component of the AFL.
Scragger, our super producer, is just typing something up. Head of AFL Victoria, you wouldn't believe it, it's Ricky Bell. Thanks for that, Scragger. Our special guest, Paul Amy, told us that about 30 seconds ago.
Paul, what's going to be the overall impact, do you think, not just for the state leagues? And I know that the AFL CEOs have come together and part of their working group is working out what's going to happen with the state leagues. But lower down, AMO footy, local footy, are we going to see more clubs fold, do you think?
Well, I think Sam, and you know, we may see an announcement tomorrow is a first and decisive step towards easing some of the financial pressures that these clubs will be under without their match day revenue and major functions.
Yep.
And season launches is a move to bring down the salary caps. So, if we get some footy underway this year, the cap will be reduced, and next year it'll be reduced again. So, the numbers that I've seen, it's somewhere between 50 and 70%. So, that certainly, player payments have been a big issue for clubs in the last few years. That's what prompted AFL Victoria to go and introduce not only salary caps, but points caps to stop these clubs, having to pay huge money for, in some cases, average footballers.
Paul, we appreciate your time. In fact, before we let you go, just as you've been going through some of your library documents, you haven't stumbled anything sort of Bayside area back in G. Healy day, have you?
No, we did, Sammy.
Just by coincidence.
Jared, when he was a fresh-faced schoolboy from the mighty Edith Vale Aspendale, and I think he gained a Teal Cup selection or a schoolboy selection. He was, and he got a nice write-up in the 131-year-old Frankston Standard. Actually, Sammy, before I go, I want to give a plug to a little footy club in Springvale, San Ancobras.
Yep.
They've done a terrific video on Facebook, and they've spread the word. They've got 44 clubs from all over in Victoria involved with a hashtag of something like, it's nothing better than playing at home. So they're telling local footballers, you know what? Let's flatten the curve. Let's do the right thing. Let's stay at home. Little footy club, Sandown Cobras, and Vice President Ricky Etridge. I think that's a terrific thing they did today.
Absolutely. Sandown Cobras. Jared and I will have a look at that as we leave you on Facebook.
Good on you, Paul. All the best, and keep punching, mate.
All the best. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your company, folks.